Listeners, just want you all to know that Nick is physically warming up to host this show.
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Nick Glover, Tim Wick, and Molly Glover.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, it's another Geeky Boners episode. We talk about British TV, board games, podcasts, and all things Scholastic.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God.
Hi, welcome to Geeks Without God. I'm your host, Nick Glover, joined as always by my co-hosts, Molly Glover.
Hello.
And Tim Wick.
I'm here.
And we have another Geeky Boners episode for you.
Ooh, sound effects.
Help! Send help!
Molly's Megan Fox thumb went out of control. And,
my boner plays piano.
Apparently.
A little jazz piano.
There's the sound of an erection and then some well-struck piano keys. Yeah, that's pure talent. That's, what's that movie, Shine, right there. Yeah.
Except you're doing it with your dick.
Right, so. Yes.
Your boner got the shine, boy. My grandma had the shine.
So we're going to talk about all the nerdy, potentially godless, whatever things we have going on in our lives that we got us turgid, rock hard,
yes,
and ready to share with you, apparently.
Yep.
Tim, do you want to talk about your boner?
Yeah, I'll talk about my boner. I love talking about my boner. I have a couple of things. They're short. Well, one, I've been getting...
You got several boners?
Yeah.
But they're small.
They're small. I have been really getting into watching Will Wheaton's Tabletop lately.
Yeah.
If you recall, it was mentioned a long time ago by Hack when it was...
Yeah, Andrew Hackard.
When it was five questions, I think, he
answered. Refresh people's memory as to what Tabletop is.
Tabletop is a web series by Will Wheaton, and he brings on his friends who are internet celebrities, including coming up, friend of the show, Joseph Scrimshaw, is going to be on one of the episodes.
He's had, Felicia Day. And...
Yeah, Felicia Day is one of the co-producers on there.
They played one of our games once.
They did. They played X-Wing. So what they do is they take a game and they play it to give you an idea of how the game works. And one of the things that I learned talking to the source is every time Tabletop comes out, now they're on season 3, they have a run on whatever game's on Tabletop.
Oh, yeah.
And
we've had very angry people when we've been out of stock of something and they put it on Tabletop, yeah.
So they've started to catch on to the fact that they need to let the distributor know before the episode airs that the Tabletop is going to air with this particular game because then they can prepare for it.
They usually, I believe they let us know, they usually gave us 3 months notice. Mm-hmm. We knew what month, but we didn't know... day, and we didn't really, and they were very close to the vest about who was going to be on the show, too.
Oh, right. Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's a good series. It's funny. The people on there are entertaining. The games are almost uniformly interesting. And, you know, the tendency is we'll watch an episode and we'll go, oh, well, we better go out and get that game, or we better go out and play that game. So, like last month, they did Stone Age, which is a resource allocation game. You know, it's kind of like Lords of Waterdeep.
Okay, Puerto Rico.
Yeah, you got a certain number of meeple, and your job is to decide where you're going to put the meeple on the board to get the best bang for your meeple buck.
Five meeple here reaps 2 wheat or whatever. But like,
Lords of Puerto Rico, right.
Yeah, it's really easy to learn, so the kids... I was able to teach the kids the game in about 10 minutes.
Because they're dumb as rocks.
Yeah,
like, they need an easy
game. My kids don't know shit about games. It was super fun. We've been playing it a lot. Pat and I totally get into it. So you can play with 2 people. And anyway, I've been kind of digging back through. I go back and watch like episodes for games that we already have or we've already played.
And
then I'll be like, they totally got that rule wrong.
isn't that funny? We had that with Elder Sign. We were like, our rules, our guys who made it were watching it being like, that's kind of the point.
Yeah.
Is you just have fun.
Yeah.
And
we'll learn it too.
Yeah. So.
And what's your other?
My other boner, just last night, actually, we watched Bletchley Park, which is a BBC series. Sorry, The Bletchley Circle.
Oh, yes.
Which is a BBC series available on Netflix, streaming at your fingertips. It only has three seasons, so it's super short, and I recommend it. It's really interesting. It's about these women who worked at Bletchley Park during the war. They're all code breakers.
World War II.
Yeah. Well, not like the Iraq War.
Right.
Anyway.
That'd be kind of awesome, though, like a British Homeland. Like.
Yeah.
So, I'd watch British Homeland.
That would be good. So they... after the war, they've all kind of moved into mundane jobs because, of course, they can't even talk about what they did during the war. But right. One of them is looking at the news that's being reported about a serial killer, and she starts to see a pattern emerging. And so she goes to the police, and she's like, I think I can help you catch this guy. Mm-hmm. And they basically are like, yeah, woman, whatever. And so she brings...
She gets Peggy Carter.
Yeah, she gets Peggy Carter.
Yeah.
And she brings in her friends who worked with her at Bletchley Park, and they set about trying to catch the serial killer.
That's really cool.
Yeah. It's a really, really solid show. I enjoyed it. We've watched the first season, and there are three episodes in the first season. They're 44 minutes apiece, so it's a fast watch.
Are the young actors playing the women, or is it...
The youngest, I think, is late 20s.
Okay.
They range in age from late 20s to one of them, I think, is probably late 40s.
Cool.
So a nice
a good
wide
mix,
range.
Yeah.
It's one of the things I like about BBC is they don't go all young pretty.
Yeah.
When they cast actors. So that makes for a lot more variety in the performers that you're seeing, and I like that a lot.
Do they explain why they're not allowed to talk about what they did during the war?
Yes, they do. They talk about it a lot because in their investigation they have to go to other people to get information from about what happened during the war, and all of those people are all bound by the same Secrets Act document that they had to sign.
Interesting.
You know, so like the main character, she can't even tell her husband what she did during the war.
Is it? Do you think it was because of like communism, or like, I mean, like I don't. I'm just
I think
trying
it
to
was.
Figure out because I know that like in the U.S. there was, you know, the SSI like rolled into the CIA. There was some like whatever the CIA started out as like during World War II, which was involved with a lot of like tracing weird occult stuff and like keeping tabs on secret spy stuff and things. But yeah,
I think it probably was a communism thing, and I'm not going to speak from a point of expertise, even though I've probably read it and I know, but I don't know it. But it was the Government Secrets Act. They had to sign a form that said they would not disclose what they did in the war.
Interesting.
So, you know, you've got this woman, and there's gender politics as well. The main character's husband doesn't know what she did during the war, so he kind of dismisses the fact that she is so much smarter than he is.
Oh, yeah.
Huh. You know, just crazy smart.
And men in that time often did.
And she's basically got to hide it.
That's nice, sweetheart.
Yeah. So anyway,
I'm not gaslighting you. Do you know how crazy that sounds?
So I recommend it, and the nice thing about it is it's really short. It's not a big time commitment.
Is it done or is it ongoing?
I don't know if there's any more. There are three seasons on Netflix.
Maybe it's just like a mini series. Like it's
like three episodes each, 45 minutes.
It's
a pop.
Three episodes and then two and then two.
Oh, wow. So, like Sherlock, kind of, but even shorter episodes.
Yeah, okay. Even shorter episodes. So, you know, check it out if you're into that kind of thing.
Yeah.
That sounds really cool.
And also, if you check that out, you should also watch The Imitation Game. So.
Have you seen that? Was it good?
Yeah.
I never saw it.
Have you read Cryptonomicon, Neal Stephenson?
No, I haven't.
So, half the book takes place during, like, the internet boom, and half the book takes place during World War II, British and American... allies who are code breakers. Alan Turing is in the book briefly. Uh-huh. It's historical fiction, but some of the great, like what espionage means for grunt troops is kind of one of my favorite parts of the book, because there'll be Marines that they have to send out to make fake camps, dig latrines and empty out barrels of manure and sewage into these latrines, and, like, empty out coffee cans full of cigarette butts to make it look like 100 troops were there, so that when we stop an attack, there's plausible deniability as to why we knew that that attack was coming.
I don't want to spoil it, but that gets addressed in some
ways. The fact that espionage can't just reveal what you know. You have to play it close to your chest
and
and like even to the point where you have to have acceptable losses, reasonable losses. Mm-hmm. You have to let some people die in order to make them believe that
Yeah, mm-hmm.
That's cool.
It's so great. And Benedict Cumberbatch is great in that movie. And it, like I say, I think having watched The Imitation Game made the Bletchley Circle, I thought, more interesting. So anyway, I've talked enough about my boners.
Molly?
What are you rigid for? I am super hard right now because today I was working in the warehouse and I got to listen to the mini-sode of this because the season's over, but this podcast called Pleasure Town. It's all one word, Pleasure Town. And I downloaded it actually a month ago when I was working in the warehouse and needed something to listen to. And I wasn't doing audiobooks so much at that point yet. And I am now. But at that time, I wasn't. And I needed something to listen to. And I was tired of listening to music. And I had just finished the Serial podcast, which, if you haven't listened to, is very, very good and very intriguing. And that was over. And I was feeling like I needed some kind of story podcast to go on. And I asked on Facebook, and people gave me a lot of recommendations. Yeah. And those recommendations led me to Pleasure Town, which I found all on my own. And near as I can tell, no one I know has ever heard of it before. It's fucking fantastic. It is a fiction podcast. So it's there's never any talking that isn't the story or characters being themselves. It takes place in... I'm going to say, I think it starts in like 18... Civil War is over. Emancipation Proclamation has happened. So like 1880 something, you know, like around there. Uh-huh. And then it goes a while. Yeah, but without giving a lot away, because I think you need to listen to it and there's so much going on, but it is the tale of Pleasure Town, which was a utopian society founded in Oklahoma when they were divvying up the native land, and they were just like, the land grab. Man who wants to come out can claim a stake and take land because these Indians don't own it. It's so
hedonistic utopia.
It's a hedonistic utopia. There are two rules in Pleasure Town: pleasure, but not at the expense of your neighbor; ecstasy, but not at the expense of yourself. So, like, you can, and I might be misquoting that last one, but you can, it's the old Satan Bible, you know, Anton LaVey, do what thou wilt with the whole of the law. Right. But maybe more toward the Wiccan thing, like, do what thou wilt, but harm none. Like, the idea is that you, as long as what you're doing isn't going to hurt anybody else, they don't care what you do. And so it's kind of like Deadwood, the TV show, in the sense that it's like this...
It's like libertarian utopia.
No, I would say no, because it is about pleasure. It's hedonism, not libertarianism. Libertarianism is all about freedom. This is all about pleasure. Okay. And more to the point being that, like, if you can explain that what you're doing is for pleasure, they're less caring about things. But it's not just like anyone do what they want, like, society in that way.
It's not anarchy.
There are some rules, but it's very... I don't know. So it starts off with these two guys that meet, Claude and Cyrus, and they realize they have similar ideas. Claude's very well read. He knows all about the Greeks and hedonism and things like that, and he starts talking to Cyrus, who's never had a word for what he believes in. But he believes that every man has the right to his own happy. Every man has the right to go out and find whatever makes him happy, and that he's very anti-slavery for that reason. He's very much, you know, so this town becomes a bastion for women's rights and where, you know, black folk can go and make a living and never be, you know, like, owned or even, like, felt like they, you know, just recently were owned.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like, technically not slaves, but I mean, come on.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, but then at the same time, but the very first episode... hints right away to a dark thing that happened, and they talk about how, you know, this is the story of Pleasure Town, nothing gold can stay, because what you know right away is that when the Dust Bowl came in, the town got buried and destroyed, and it's gone, and everyone died.
And you've played the first, like, two or three episodes for me, and I would say that, like, religion is definitely a theme in... Yeah, Pleasure Town. Like, they definitely touch on...
One of the first characters you meet is a Mormon who gets assigned to Arizona, and he's upset because his, you know, one of his elders got assigned to Paris.
Right.
One of his elders got assigned to Hawaii. You know, one of his elders got assigned, and he's like, and I gotta go to fucking Arizona. You know, like, you know what lives there? Nothing. Nothing except for Mormons and scrub. You know, like, and it's so... ends up in Pleasure Town instead, and that's one of the first stories. And there's a lot of stories of people, and there's an arc that you kind of don't see coming, because at first it's just like, oh, this is going to be disjointed stories of people.
Vignettes.
And the people telling the stories are telling them from the afterlife, all of them, to a man.
Huh.
And they say that. They're like, now that I'm dead, I have this, you know, I have the hindsight, you know, I'm able to see my actions for what they were, you know, or you know, before I died, I was a, you know, and so it's neat. And I can't imagine anyone not liking it. I mean, really, I think it has something for everyone.
I think even in the very first episode, the one narrator refers to the other as his, like, eternal companion or something like that.
My companion in eternity.
They're definitely dead.
And,
I mean,
yeah, everyone's dead. And there's a few things that get hinted at. And there's a lot of hinting. And you think, oh, that's just a throwaway line. And then three or four episodes later, that thing happens. And you're like, oh, shit. Like, that wasn't, like, they weren't kidding. Like, there's and there's some really, really evil characters, and there's some really, really good characters, and there's some people that are just, they're just humans. Most of the people are just people with moral gray areas and their own desires and wants, and it's very cool. And it has, I think unless you are a person who doesn't like fiction, which there are people out there who don't enjoy stories.
Right.
If you don't like fiction, this wouldn't be for you. But if you like fiction, I think you would like it. And it's just Pleasure Town, all one word. It's ongoing. There's been one season, and that season is done. And in the meantime, while we're waiting for season two, which they anticipate will come out, I think this summer, they are doing minisodes. So they had a writing contest, and you know, the person who, you know, a couple of people who wrote in, they're making their, like, instead of being 30 to 40 minute episodes, they're making little 10 minute little mini stories, adding, as they call it, a little more depth and color and character and story to Pleasure Town.
It's Public Radio Chicago, isn't it?
It's Chicago Public Radio is who puts it out. That's how I found it, because that's who does Serial.
Oh, right.
So when I went to iTunes podcasts, and I was just like, well, fuck it. Like, I never do suggested. I never look for things that iPod or, you know, that Apple suggests. And so they had a thing that was, if you like Serial. And there was one that was called Criminal that's just fucking boring. Like, the first episode was kind of interesting. It was about a woman who appeared to have been murdered, but really she was killed by an owl. That was an amazing one.
She was murdered by an owl.
Well, kind of, because it turns out the owls, like, really hate people, and they go after them. So, but that was a boring podcast after the owl one. And then I listened to, like, half of one other thing that was, like, a story, but it didn't grab me. And then this just really... It's really grabbed me, and I found myself really excited to hear more. So I highly recommend it. I'm rock hard for it, and I think you guys would like it.
Yeah.
If you listen to it, let me know what you think, because it's crazy, and try not to spoil it, because I think there's some, I don't know, I want you guys to listen to it.
All right.
That's good.
Interesting.
So we got one more boner to go.
Yeah.
Yeah. What has me fully torqued?
I've seen it. like a bunch of times.
Dusty old thing. Fully torqued. Right. My boner. So I think we've talked about it a little bit. I quit my job around the new year.
I am the only unemployed person at this fucking table, by the way.
Only employed
person.
Did I say unemployed?
You did.
I'm the only employed person, and also the only person drinking wine.
Yeah, that's also true.
Hello.
So I quit my job kind of at the last minute before the registration deadline to go back to school. And so I haven't been a student since 2001. I'm currently enrolled as a full-time student at a technical college, a community college.
What are you getting your degree in?
Network administration or analysis.
Yay.
Which is kind of my field, kind of been my bag. It's where I want to work.
Literally your field.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not kind of your field.
And as of today, I'm done with midterms. Like, I my papers are all in. I had to take a few quizzes today online. And as of right now, I'm also a straight A student.
Yeah.
I probably haven't been a straight A student since middle school. Wow. Puberty, as Molly pointed
out.
That's
weird. I wonder what could have happened at puberty. Between and maybe, like, there was...
I'd like to point out that for me, puberty is pre-discovery of marijuana, so we can't blame...
Yeah,
right,
that's not what
drugs.
I was blaming right away.
Yeah, no, it's yeah, yeah. Well, yeah. So, I mean, like, the intro programming class they offer is either fundamentals of programming or web programming overview. And I signed up for the web programming one because I've never been a programmer. I took a programming class in high school and it just didn't sit well with me. I didn't learn it very well. And so I am doing really well in this class to the point where the professor said, you know, this is a mixed class. Like half the students are in web programming and half are in, you know, intro to programming. The only difference is the one class lasts like 3 weeks longer because we start going into object-oriented programming. And she's like, you're doing really well and you're helping other students and your assignments have all been above and beyond.
That's the main thing. Your assignments have been above and beyond.
Like whenever I give optional stuff, you have it done in class before we even leave. Why aren't you taking this other class? Why aren't you taking the longer version? And I expressed that I had a little bit of anxiety about programming, and she said that was silly, and you know, I mean, clearly capable of handling it, and she
stroked his boner a bit.
Yeah, and so she's like, "Tell you what, if before this class ends, you can fill out an add drop form, I'll sign it and everything, and we can transfer you over to the 4-credit version of the class instead of the 3-credit version."
Sweet.
Yeah. Because it's a mixed class that I'm in. It's the same night and the same time.
Like a little bit of money.
And all I have to do is pay the credit difference, which wasn't that much. And so I got that taken care of yesterday, as well as like my, you know, acing my midterm test in Network Essentials, which I really would be embarrassed if I hadn't. But even my non-tech class, my interpersonal communications class, which is so much feels like a talking about talking circle jerk.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've been in those
big time.
It's a freshman class.
Yeah, it's really, really masturbatory.
And St. Kate's, it was called The Reflective Woman.
Yeah,
you've
right.
heard me talk about The Reflective Woman. That's
yeah.
your class, isn't it?
So it's... But, like, I could have taken public speaking, which would have been less writing, certainly less reading, and I don't have problems talking in front of groups of people, but...
I wonder if
schedule-wise, it didn't work out.
I have to wonder if you took public, because you have a thing you do when you are talking, when you're thinking while you're talking, where you close your eyes.
Right. That's a we've learned about that as a in my interpersonal communications class. That is a well known like body language
right.
thing.
Right. And I wonder if you would be getting dinged. I wonder if you'd be if that would be the one hard thing for you to accomplish.
Probably not.
In a public
I don't do it on
class.
Stage and stuff. I don't do it. So the other exciting thing about that is that the summer and fall classes go up on Sunday. Not registration, but just like the what the classes are and all that. The catalog, I guess. So I get to figure out what my classes are going to be for the next two semesters on Sunday.
It's exciting.
It's really exciting, and it feels like kind of a great personal accomplishment. I'm the only person other than my two sisters who are not even high school age who doesn't have a college degree of some kind in my family. They're all fairly well-educated folks. I mean, my brother graduated from Hamline, as did my mother. And
my mother has a doctorate. And my brother has a degree. And yeah,
it's not anything I've ever been ashamed of. But at the same time, like, it's always something I've wanted to go back and do. And now I'm going back and doing it, and I'm doing well at it. And that's
you were so nervous. It's so funny because you were so worried that, and I mean, I understand why, but you were so worried you weren't going to do it.
Yeah.
It was going to be, not that it was going to be too hard, but that you weren't going to be good at it.
Yeah.
And that it was going to be a failure. And I know quitting your job was so scary.
It was.
And we made the decision in about 2 days. Like, it was literally
very quickly.
It all happened very fast. And then after your first full week of classes, like, after that last one, you came home and you were laughing. And I was like, you were like, this is going to be fine. It's the only one that's a little tricky is that interpersonal communications class because there's a lot of reading.
It's
going to be fine, and I'm glad.
I found out that the book has an online component to it that I can get excerpts from the chap from the book in excerpts?
Yep, excerpts.
in audio format. And cool. So I've been listening to some of the book rather than reading
that's
it,
cool.
Which is neat. And then just like... my whole schedule for all the classes are all online on the school's, like, online education.
Oh, yeah, Tim. Like, you went to college a long time ago.
I did go to college a long time ago, too.
Yeah. I'm telling you, man.
To be fair, I went to college 2002.
So when I went, I mean, when you went to college, there wasn't really even, like, internet email type stuff.
No.
When I went to college, there was email, we did Lotus Notes, but classes was still, I mean, you could turn in things typed, but your grades were paper. I mean, all that was paper.
I have a...
Yeah, I was still using a typewriter when I was in school.
I have a by-class, by-assignment Dropbox.
Yeah.
Where I instantly upload my paper. If it's a quiz or quiz, something like that, I get my grade back instantaneously.
Sweet.
I mean, messaging the teacher. I mean, just it's amazing what
when
technology
When I go into class to take a test that's in class, I sit down at the computer that's at my workstation, and the teacher writes the password up on the board to unlock the test. We take the test, and I know instantly... potentially which problems I got wrong or what the right answers were or none of that even and what my score was and then what the rest of the class grades were if the president chooses to.
It's pretty great.
Yeah. So I...
So you can be like, oh, I got an 87 on that. But look, like the highest scores were an 88 and a 90. So I actually don't feel so bad that I got an 87.
It tells you the weight of the grades as well for everything. So, I don't know, that's my boner, is purely educational boner.
That's a good boner.
It's a good boner. It's a...
Education's
good. It's a little awkward at school, but that's all right.
That's what I said on the way here when he said his boner was about school. I'm like, usually that's against the law.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm in college. Boners are encouraged. Wait. So we have five answers from listeners?
Yes, we do. Okay. We have five answers. I'm going to read this little intro. I am Adrian Pastine. I am a mathematician from Argentina. As of now, I am studying for my PhD in Michigan Tech in Houghton, Michigan. First of all, a huge thanks to Molly. I started reading The Dark Tower partly because of her, and I am loving it.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
Awesome. A little background. I have been a Catholic for the first 18 years of my life. I even went to a school managed by the bishopric. Even while I was a Catholic, I didn't like most of the religious people I knew because they were all following blindly, frowning upon people that questioned their own faith, whereas I used to question a lot of things from the Bible. This questioning eventually led me to leaving religion altogether.
As it does.
Yeah. All right.
That's, I mean, as it can.
Yes.
You know, that Argentina, South America is very heavily Catholic.
Yes.
So
it's true.
That's got to be a challenge to question the church in Argentina.
Do you want to...
Sure. Question number one. What's your favorite movie that you've seen in the last 30 days?
I don't know. I don't watch many movies. Probably Seven Psychopaths. I especially liked the ending and how they gave a twist on the self-immolation monk.
All right.
Yeah, that's good. I love that movie. Seven, I want to watch it again.
It's the guys did In Bruges.
Yes.
And so if you've seen one and
awesome
haven't seen the other,
well,
you should. Yeah, they're both great. Question number two, who is your favorite atheist character?
There are so many, both fictional and non-fictional. A lot of Terry Pratchett characters, Dr. House and Dr. Cox, the original House.
Yeah.
Scientists such as Galileo, Tim Minchin, Aurelio Voltaire, Hernandez for their hilarious music. But if I have to go with one, I'm going with Velma from Scooby-Doo.
Oh, yeah, Velma.
I don't think they clearly showed her as atheist, but she is always the one to figure out that there is a guy behind the mask, which I am not going to take part of as being a non-believer and being a scientist.
We just posted a Scooby-Doo meme on the Facebook page.
Looking for an explanation of how things happen instead of assuming the supernatural. Tim, do you want to read the third one when Nick asks the question?
Sure, I'd be happy to do that.
Question number three, what is your geekiest hobby?
It has to be math. Back in Argentina, we used to meet with some friends to try and work out problems from random math competitions. I also really enjoy helping friends with their math-related homework for the fun of it.
For the fun?
Yeah.
Pure recreational math.
Pure recreational math. Because math is, I've mentioned before, I was raised by two math teachers, so
yeah.
I've never viewed math as a scary thing. I think math is kind of awesome.
I do a lot of counting by 16s and binary conversion.
Oh, yeah.
Just because that's networking.
That's something you got to do.
Yeah.
Well, and, you know, I mentioned the Bletchley Circle earlier, and a lot of that, it's a little like Numbers in the sense that these are mathematicians in this show.
We never watched Numbers, really.
I watched... I feel like I watched one episode once,
it was kind of...
Numbers was okay. It was fine. It's a police procedural with the expert being the dude who does math.
Well, and that's the thing. I came in the middle, so I don't think I was understanding a lot of stuff.
But the thing that makes Bletchley Park, the Bletchley Circle different is they actually, you know, they all have their own specialties. So you need all of them together to do the job rather than one super smart math dude who can figure everything out. So question number four, what's your favorite sandwich?
This is called Barolucco alla pizza.
Mm.
A Barolucco is done with three or four layers of crustless bread, filet mignon, tomatoes, lettuce, ham, cheese,
oh my God,
fried eggs, and anything else you may want to add, olives, red peppers, etc. Being a la pizza means that the top layer of bread is covered as if it was a pizza with tomato sauce, cheese, and ham. Then there are pictures of the sandwich. I'm bringing them up because it's a link. Hang on. That is an amazing... It looks like a gigantic, awesome panini, like pressed...
It's like a Taco Town sandwich.
Not like tomato sauce and cheese, but like... Pizza, like, authentic more, I think.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe that one's not a la pizza.
No, it certainly got, like, a... Looks like melted cheese, like Asiago or something on top.
Isn't that yummy?
Yeah.
That looks really good.
It's huge,
too. We'll post these pictures in the show notes.
I can eat, like, 1/10 of that.
Yeah.
Question number 5. What's the stupidest thing anyone's ever said about your atheism?
I'm a pretty lighthearted person, and so it's hard for me to get mad at someone. Unfortunately, this means I don't remember most of the funny things. I also became an atheist while I was in college, in Argentina, and people are pretty accepting of atheism. The one that I do remember and think is funny. Back in the day, I used to write a bunch of philosophical shit on my Facebook wall. One day I posted this. In the beginning, there was God. He was perfect, so he didn't need anything. So he didn't create a thing. The end. My friend replied, except he had so much love to give that he created us to give his love.
And murder.
I got a bit annoyed, so I replied, I don't mess with your little tail. Don't mess with mine.
That's cute.
Adrienne, that's awesome. Thank you so much for writing in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. Terrific. That's great. Really if you are listening and you'd like to send in your answers to our 5 questions, you can send them in to 5questions@geekswithoutgod.com.
True fact.
Typically, if we have a guest on the show, we have them answer our questions. And if they're a repeat guest, they get to ask us their 5 questions. Just a reminder that coming up, we're going to be doing some live recordings at the Fearless Comedy Productions 50-hour comedy marathon called Die Laughing 2.
Woo! Yeah. Die Laugh Harder.
That's this weekend.
It's
like, shit, that's this weekend.
Yeah, this weekend, March 6th, 7th, and 8th in Bloomington, Minnesota at the Doubletree Hotel, which is where Convergence is held.
And it's going to be streaming live, so if you can't...
Yeah, if you go to DieLaughingMarathon.com.
DieLaughingMarathon.com has all the details.
We've got a couple of fun guests lined up. I think
Levi Weinhagen's going to be with us at noon on Saturday.
Yep. And then the comic book writer and artist ZM Thomas, who does Bible 2, Abe the Aborted Fetus, and coming up soon, John Smith.
Another project that we're not
in space.
I think so.
Yeah, it's
something like that.
It's the Mormon follow up to Bible 2.
He's
Mormons
hilarious and very very subversive, and
he's going to be with us at 9 p.m.
On Saturday.
You guys come if you want to watch it live. It's just a suggested donation at the door for entry. We have a silent auction. Mm-hmm. There's all kinds of awesome stuff.
We're going to be auctioning off a guest spot for the podcast.
That's right.
Sure.
And remember, if you can help us raise $1,000 for Fearless Comedy, you can make us go get audited.
Yes.
Yeah.
You can also meet us. Maybe you've never met us before. This would be a great time. We're going to be there the whole time. We're going to be awake and exhausted.
Your opinions on us in person.
Yes. Come.
We'll make sure later this week I'll try and either on the blog and on the Facebook page we should post our schedules so you know.
Yeah, we'll try to do that.
We're all doing all sorts
so
of comedy shit over
so
the course
much
of
for
the
sure.
Shit.
For sure.
So yeah.
Comedy shit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm doing an entire half hour of stand up myself.
Yourself. Yeah. That's a long long time.
I'm very excited. There's going to be songs and stories about blowjobs. It's going to be great.
So it's just another Thursday night.
I'm hosting an epic lip sync battle.
Oh, yeah. I finally got my songs nailed down for that, and it's good. They're good. I'm excited.
I have a big boner about the songs.
Long form improv I'm looking forward to with a few groups and some other stuff. Yeah. So thank you for listening. We're Geeks Without God. Please leave us a rating on iTunes. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. We're Geeks Without God and all those places. I think that's about all we've got. So thanks for listening, everyone. See you next Tuesday.
Bye.
Bye.
100% all beef thermometer. 21st digit. Ass pirate. No, that's not a good one either.
We're geeks without God. Moral authority, we don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Until next time, you can find us blogging and listen to past podcasts at geekswithoutgod.com. And you can follow us on Twitter at geekswithoutgod.
We're geeks,
we're geeks,
we're geeks without God.
We're geeks,
we're geeks, we're geeks without God.
We're geeks,
we're geeks, we're geeks without God.
We're geeks, geeks without God.
You could emote the shit out of With or Without You.